Well, if you remember, about a week ago, we prayed for rain in one of my petitions. There was a minister in Texas, and he told the people to pray for rain. And he said, next Sunday, it's going to rain. Have faith. The following Sunday came. Nobody brought an umbrella. He said, where is your faith? Well, I see that most of you brought the umbrella today, so you have more faith than the people in Texas, I think. The presentation of Jesus in the temple is a very old feast that comes to us from the 4th century. And as you know, it seems a little out of place because we already have been reading about Jesus being baptized, Jesus performing miracles, and Jesus beginning his mission. That's according to Matthew. Now, Luke had more sense. He went step by step. He has not been baptized, Jesus, yet here. He was born, visited by the Magi and the shepherds, and then his parents took him to the temple to present him to the Lord. It's called the Gospel of the Infancy of Jesus. This feast belongs to the incarnation cycle, according to Luke. As I said, we saw him being born, baptized later on anyway. The angels and magi come to him. Today we see the old prophet Simeon holding in his arms a child that is just beginning his life, the end of life and the beginning of life met to embrace each other. The old man contemplated the salvation that the young baby will bring. But also, as a true prophet, he saw the rejection and the catastrophe to follow. In the first reading, we speak about the coming of God to the temple. Suddenly will come to the temple the Lord you seek, whom you desire. Today, Jesus, as a child, came to sanctify and to take possession of the temple. Christ is God's light, which enlightens people, but who also blinds and confuses them at times. You know, light is very important, and that's why Jesus, one time, he said aloud, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will never walk in darkness. You know yourself how important light is. Now, if the light goes on right now, we'd be probably not too much in total darkness. But like at 7:30 Mass, if the light went off, we'd be in total darkness. And then you don't know what will happen at the collection time. You might put a $20 bill there instead of two or one. So light very important. In the homes, what do we do without all the gadgets we have? Now, I have a habit when I get up in the morning, even I go down to get coffee, I never put the lights on. There's always some time for it. So I just try to feel myself, you know. So I see in the dark like the cats, I guess. And In the meeting room here, when I come out, there are two doors. One has a peephole, but somebody covered it. I don't know who. That used to give me help. I see the little light, and I know where the door is. Well, last week, somehow I couldn't find it, and there are two doors there, so I found myself into a closet. When people are trying to get out, I am trying to get in. So light is very important. Today, Jesus, as I said, came to take possession of God's house. He is a sign of contradiction. His teachings are not always what people want to hear. His gospel is not always popular. His Father's commandments, many a time, are called suggestions by those in authority. Those who struggle to live a decent life according to the Christian principles are branded as old-fashioned, not witted. Parents who try to instill respect for God and for all God's creation, including his masterpiece, the human life, often become discouraged, for society contradicts and frustrates their effort by glorifying sex out of marriage, violence, and disrespect for life in general. Christ brought division. His coming could be a stone which people stumble on, or it can be a cornerstone on which we solidly build our lives. And then our life will be worth living. The fact remains, Jesus is the light of the world. As God came to the temple and established a covenant with his people, so Jesus, the Son of God, came to make us God's people, God's temple. We, the church, now are God's people and the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus still cry out, follow me if you do not want to be in darkness. I am the light of the world. The fundamental reason for the church's existence and her future is something, or rather someone, beyond history, Jesus Christ. We are human, and Jesus continues to purify and sanctify God's temple. Christ is still at work. I will be with you till the end of time. The temple of God is depicted as a building under construction, a continuous development. Jesus, the light, is the master builder. We build the church with Christ and for Christ. We do this by conforming to the designs, the architecture, the blueprints pre-established by Christ himself. It is not our church. It is the church of Christ. We are only privileged that we belong to it and that we are also builders with Christ. Only this way the church will be a light to the nations, a visible sign of the supreme light. We are to be signposts so that others will be able to follow. But if we don't live the gospel of Jesus, then we be, as the gospel says, a contradiction. Our actions has to conform to our belief. Jesus is a sign of contradiction, yes, but a sure sign of a life of love, peace, and justice. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.